25. Guess I better turn that on first. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 25. We've been going through the doctrines of salvation, or the doctrine of salvation, I should say. We've been looking at a couple parables, and tonight we're going to look at another one, the parable of the talents. So we're going to start in verse 14 and read through verse 30. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, but he... For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and the opportunity to be here tonight. And Father, as we continue to look through your word and see the doctrines of salvation, and at this point we're looking at debated passages that people will teach that we can lose our salvation, and we know from your word that that's impossible. We can't lose something that we had nothing to do with in the first place. It's all about you and what the Lord Jesus Christ did as he came and laid down his life and took it up again. And I pray, Father, that people would realize the truths of your word and not follow man's teachings. And so we thank you for what you're going to accomplish tonight. We'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We need to be about the business that God's given us. He didn't, as I've said many times, God did not save us for us to sit on the sidelines and do nothing. If that's what he wanted to do, he'd have just taken us home to heaven. I mean, there's no reason to be here if it wasn't to be about the business that God's given to us, right? Jesus even say, I must be about my Father's business. If Jesus, being our example, had to be about the Father's business, then what makes us think we don't have to? It doesn't make any sense, does it? And again, I'm going to say, and I repeat this over and over and over because it needs to be driven home. People need to understand, once saved, always saved. We did nothing to earn salvation. We can do nothing to lose it. God loved us and still loves us in spite of us. That's something we can't grasp because we love in exchange for something, right? I love you if. God loves us in spite of. If we as God's children could get that I love in spite of, we could make a huge difference in this world. But it's fighting against this sin nature that we have, this flesh, that keeps us from having that mindset. I get tired of hearing from people, well, I just don't love them anymore. Well, you chose not to. Love is a choice. So you either choose to love or you choose not to love. So even though Jesus came and they spit on him, they beat him, they nailed him to a cross, they mocked him, he still loved them. Anybody here have all that done to them? If somebody's hand went up, I'd say, oh, we need to talk, because if you've been crucified, you wouldn't be here. So we know that that didn't happen to any of us. And if he could still love, then we should be able to love. The issue is we have to choose to. We have to choose to. That's the hard part. I've said many times, if walking this Christian life here was easy, all of God's children would be doing it. And there wouldn't be the problem that we have today, right? We have a big problem trying to get people to understand the truth of the Word of God, because everybody's got a different version, everybody's got a different God, everybody's got a different whatever. And people are saying, well, who has the right Bible, and who has the right God, and who has the right this and the right that? No, I just tell people, it's not about me, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. That's what's right. But we constantly fight against man who wants to be in control and wants to give their opinion about the Word of God. I've said before, and I'll keep saying it, my opinion doesn't matter and your opinion doesn't matter. We all got them, right? And they're all not worth anything. But the Word of God is true, and we've got to stick with it. That's how we're going to reach the lost, is with the truth of the gospel. I like when they come, I wish they'd come back, but they come to my house and they don't like it when I give them Bible every time they come up with something from their goofiness. And so they quit coming to my house now. So I think I have the plague, since they won't even walk the sidewalk in front of my house anymore. They cross the street and go over and come back. And so I'm thinking they're afraid I might attack them with the Word of God or something. So it's nice to have that idea, but I would like to spend some more time with them and give them the truth. And yet they don't want to come anymore. So continuing on in our Matthew 25, we'll pick up in verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was ahungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me in. Naked, and ye clothed Me. I was sick, and ye visited Me. I was in prison, and ye came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee ahungered, and fed Thee, or thirsty, and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger, and took Thee in, or naked, and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick, or in prison, and came unto Thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. I'm glad that I'm going to be on that side that he says, come on in, right? I can't imagine. And as I've said many times, there's a lot of people who have a false sense of security. And they've been given that false sense of security, unfortunately, by some believers in Jesus Christ. I get tired of that. Just repeat these words after me, and you're saved. Do you know people will repeat whatever you tell them to? I'm serious. They will. Especially if they want to get rid of you. They'll say, if I just repeat that. And then they repeat those words and they're told, well, now you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. Are they on their way to heaven? See, they repeated with their mouth, but they never believed in their heart. The Bible says you have to believe in your heart, and then with the mouth, confession is made. We have to make sure. So I can tell you, when people ask me, so what do I say? You tell God what's on your heart. It's that simple. Just tell him what's going on in your heart. If what's going on in your heart is you're a sinner in need of a Savior, tell him. He wants to hear from us. He wants to know what's on our heart. He doesn't want some pre-written magical words, as some will tell you. There are no magical words. Repent of your sin. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's pretty simple. And many have been given a false sense of security. I just shared last week, my son-in-law. I thought he was saved before he asked my daughter's hand in marriage. My daughter thought he was saved. They've been married 21 years. He got saved Saturday night into Sunday morning. Couldn't sleep. God was working on him. He got up in the middle of the night and asked God to save him. Told her in the morning that all this time he thought he was saved and he realized he's not. Interesting, huh? I can tell you, I've been in services where the pastor's wife walked the aisle and got saved. He thought she was. She thought she was. I've been in services where the youth leader walked the aisle and got saved. Thought he was. Everybody around him thought he was. He hadn't got saved. The Holy Spirit convicted him that he needed to get saved. It happens because people are given a false sense of security by God's people who tell them to repeat after me. And they think that these magical words save you. The Bible teaches that it's not magical words. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That word shalt means it's a definite. But first they have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not some magical word somebody told them to say. This passage that I read, now that I've gotten all that off my chest, right? This passage that we read deals with the Gentile survivors of the tribulation at the sheep-goat judgment, which determines who is allowed to enter the millennium. those whose saving faith was demonstrated by their love for other believers during the persecution of the tribulation. I've had people tell me, well, I can't wait to live through the tribulation. I said, I'm glad I don't have to. I had a long conversation with a lady one day. She said, what do you mean you don't have to go through the tribulation? I said, I'm saved from the wrath to come. God's word tells me I am. In fact, God's word says I can know for sure I have eternal life. I don't have to guess. I don't have to hope. I don't have to think so. I can know so. She said, but we all have to go through the tribulation period. I said, I don't know what book you're reading, but that's not what the Bible says. We had a long conversation. At the end of it, she wasn't impressed with my thoughts on what the Word of God says, because she's been taught her whole life that she has to go through the tribulation period. I said, what are you saved from then? Aren't you saved from the wrath to come? She said, it's not what the Bible teaches. I said, it certainly does. I said, some people you just can't get through what they've been taught. But hopefully the seeds were planted, and hopefully, by now I would assume she was much older than I was, so I'm assuming maybe now, if she was saved, she's in heaven. If not, well, the alternative. I don't know. I can't see a heart. God knows. Some scriptures, which speak of God's system of legal justice and judgment, are misunderstood as teaching that believers can lose their salvation. Look at Ezekiel 3:20. Ezekiel 3:20 says, again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. And then look at Ezekiel 33:12 and 13. Excuse me. Ezekiel 33:12 says, therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. Then drop down to verse 18. When it says, when the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. These passages here just simply teach that a man who sins is guilty regardless, right? I'm saved, sinner saved by grace, by the way. If I sin, I'm still saved, but I'm still guilty of the sin. Correct? Seeing a few heads nod, but correct? I mean, I'm still guilty. I've sinned against Almighty God, which I've said over and over and over. Every sin is against Almighty God. We have a tendency that, no, I sinned against this person or that person. Yeah, you may have offended them too, but your sin is against Almighty God. We need to get right with Him. We need to understand, to have that right relationship, we have to accept Christ as Savior. To have that right fellowship, we have to have sin removed from our life, which means we have to confess that. It's pretty simple. If we have sin in our life, right? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, right? The Bible's very clear. People say, well, I can live in sin and still have a relationship with God. You can have a relationship, you just can't have fellowship. It's that simple. You want fellowship with God? Remove iniquity from your heart, from your life. I tell people, if you sin and the Holy Spirit convicts you, which don't tell me He doesn't, the Holy Spirit convicts us when we sin, confess that sin right away. Don't let it pile up and pile up and pile up. What I found is people who have sin in their life and don't confess it, they continue to sin and continue to sin and continue to sin, and as they do that, they get further and further and further away from God. Pretty soon, they're not reading their Bible, they're not praying, they're not in church. What happened? They decided they love their sin more than they love God. And that's what it comes down to. Are we going to be sinless on this earth? No. No. I get tired of preachers who preach, get saved and your life is a bowl of cherries. Well, I've found some pits along the way, I'm sorry. But it just hasn't been a bowl of cherries. But I will say this, it's a whole lot easier going through this life walking with the Lord than not walking with Him. He goes through us, with us, with the valleys of our life. And we can also enjoy those mountaintop experiences with Him. But we need to make sure our sin is confessed. It does not matter how many good deeds you've done in your life. It's not about good deeds. When the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, people hate it when I bring that up. When they say, well, I'm a good person, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible also talks about our righteousness as filthy rags. They don't like it when you bring those up because they're counting on their righteousness to get them to heaven. I'm counting on the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness. Because it's not about mine. It's about His. Salvation must be by grace, or else one sin would condemn even the best man to hell. It's got to be all about grace, plus nothing, minus nothing. That's what it's about. All right, we're out of time, so we're going to stop there tonight, and we're going to move on to prayer requests.